a little levity, right? I'm a pastor in more than one way. I have my first pastor with a TOR that I try to take care of you and lead you in the right direction. And then I have the pastor with the PASTER, which means I like to live in the past a lot. Right? And, you know, it's like this. I'm always thinking about what just happened, or I'm about, sometimes I'm 40 miles down the road. You guys know that, right? But I'm thinking about what happened. Like, for example, if I run into, I can have 10 people in the day be really, really nice to me. I'll run into one person that's not, and who am I thinking about that night? Right, right. Or let's say that I've been praying and praying for rain, and then it rains, but unfortunately it's on Easter morning and nobody wants to come because it's pouring rain, and what am I going to think about? See, God answered my prayers this time. No rain on it, too. So I think all of us have that pastor mentality, that idea that we focus on what happened in the past, or we focus on the bad things that have happened to us in life, more than we focus on, oh, what kind of good stuff is God going to bring to us, right? And I think that's just a human thing, you know? Because who were the disciples and Mary focusing on? Were they focusing on future, or were they focusing on past? They were focusing on the past when they come to the grave. And who could blame them? You know, she's coming to the grave, and she's expecting what you and I would have at a grave. Grief, tears, remembering, you know, what had happened. And then Jesus comes, but when Jesus comes, it's at dawn. And I'm very surprised as I started reading. Shouldn't have been, because John, after all, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is the light of the world, but I tend to forget little things like that. Today, Jesus comes at what time? Dawn. Yes, yes. Uh-huh. When Jesus walked on water, not too many weeks ago, when we walked on water, Jesus came at
dawn.
When Jesus called his disciples, he came at
dawn.
Yes, yes. And the same thing happens today. So when Mary arrives at the grave, though, she's not thinking in the future, right? She comes in not only the darkness, the light is just starting to come up, but she comes in a darkness of mind, because even though two angels speak to her, now get that, two angels speak to her and she doesn't notice. Does anybody find that strange? I mean, if two angels spoke to me, I think I'd notice them, and then I think, no, there's times when you guys speak to me and I don't notice your angels, right? But then even Jesus comes and speaks to her, right? And does she think that it's Jesus? No. Not until the dawn is fully there, and she says, and he says, Mary. And then she knows who it is. Because you see, she's in the past. It's been 3 days ago since Jesus died. So why would she expect to see Jesus, even though Jesus told her that he would be back in how many days? Right. But you see, Jesus was the future. And all she could think about was the past. And I find myself doing that at times as well. You have somebody die in your life, or pass away, or perhaps you have something happens, you have a falling out, or a friend betrays you. What do you think about? Are you thinking about the future? Or are you thinking about the past? So often I think that in our lives, we're feeling guilt about what happened in the past. Maybe things that we did that we wish he hadn't have done, or we're thinking about the feeling of pain that we had when we were in grief, or whatever might be going on. But clearly today, Jesus says we're not a people that should live in the past. Clearly Jesus is saying that we're a people that should look forward to the future, you know? Because what God says is, as you know, it's in those bad times that I'm growing you. It's during those setback times that Jesus is saying, I think you can grow a little bit more strength. I think you can grow just a little bit more character during these times, you know? God uses those bad times to begin to grow something new on the inside, just like the beautiful flowers we see outside, the bulbs that are starting to grow when we don't even see them. That's how God uses that. But the problem is, we're not a people that have what I call a resurrection mentality. And by that I mean, we live knowing that no matter what we're going through, there's an expectation that God is going to do something. There's an expectation that God will bring about a resurrection in our life. Because you see, there's not just one great big resurrection in our life after we pass on. Yes, that's that. Easter tells us it's that, but there's lots of minor resurrections in our life too, when we think we can't go on anymore, and then all of a sudden we feel this peace. We feel our spirit coming up and saying, there is going to be a resurrection. But here's the problem. You can't bring somebody out of a resurrection if you're dead. It's hard to take somebody. If you want to stay in the grave, God can't resurrect you. You know, God can't resurrect your dreams if you've totally given up on them and don't believe that God can do something about them. You know, maybe you've made poor decisions in the past. Is there anybody here that didn't? I'm not going to tell you what they are, but I made some whoppers in my life, you know. Maybe you're like me, I don't know. Do you ever feel like you have somebody talking to you that says, you really blew it this time. It's not going to get any better. You might as well give it up. Here's the thing that I forget in times like that, you know. God's mercy is so much greater than any mistake we've ever made in our life. And it is not over until God says it's over, and today that's what we find out. You know, God always has the last word. And so we have to learn to trust in God to say, no matter what it looks like, it may look like it's the end for us. It's not. There's a resurrection coming. You know, and the other thing that I found is, you know, how often do I pray that God takes somebody out of my life? Anybody ever have difficult people in their life? Never, right? You ever have somebody that, I know you guys wouldn't do this, but well, you go through the kitchen so you don't have to talk to them. None of you would ever. Aha! I know who you are out there now, right? Or maybe you've got a boss or somebody at work that just drives you crazy, right? And it's really hard to get along with them. Well, I've found that, though, when I've looked back on my life, that the very hardest people that God has put in front of me are the ones that I've grown the most. But my attitude at that time, my past mentality of saying, this is the way they're always going to be. Isn't that what we think when we've got a difficult person? They're not going to change. I don't expect myself to change either, right? But they're not going to change, you know. But God says, live with a resurrection mentality. And this is what you do. You say, in spite of the fact that this person isn't nice to me, I'm going to be good to them because there's a resurrection that's coming, you know. Those bad situations, those big mistakes you've made, you know, that coworker that you don't get along with, that job you hate, we've all had those, right? Just to be clear, it's not this one. Those things that happen to us are not done to us. They're done for us if you just have faith, you know. And then sometimes we do things in our life that God can't resurrect us till we get in a certain point. Because I found, you know, just like Jesus, when he fell with the cross, God sent Simon, right, to help him carry the cross. Well, sometimes God will send people to help us carry the cross, but we don't want their help because we want to stay where we are. I had a good friend that was in a domestic violence situation, and she stayed. And God sent literally 3 or 4 different people to help her. But she couldn't do it. Now, I understand the emotional luggage that comes with abuse. But eventually, she turned to me. Eventually, she did get out, and she looked, why didn't I leave sooner? Resurrection mentality. We grow in those difficult times. Those times when we think, I can't put up with the kids anymore. They're driving me crazy. You know, it is a whole lot more fun to be on the mountaintop, right? But we don't grow on the mountaintop. It would have been a lot easier for Jesus to have stayed on the mountaintop, right? He could stay with Elijah. They could have tented. They could have had a camping outlet there, had a great time. But Jesus knew that he couldn't do that. Jesus knew that he had to turn around and he had to face Jerusalem. And he was willing to do that, you know? And every one of us is going to go through a valley at some time. It might be bad money. It might not be enough money. We can't pay the rent. It might be people that we're living with aren't doing what we want them to do. If you get married, that frequently happens. Just teasing. Just teasing. Right? But here's the thing. You know, We can't let, whether they be addictions or bad times or bad friends or whatever's going on, we can't let them bring us down. It could be loneliness. We can't let them steal our joy, because look at Jesus. Out of a crucifixion came Easter and eternal life. You know, before Jesus' resurrection, he had to go through the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's there, and he's literally sweating blood tears, and he says, "Father, Father, if you could make this pass, do it." But then he says, "But if it's your will, let it be done." And then he goes on, and he goes to the crucifixion, and he at this point has made a decision that he's going to stay. He's going to see it through. You know, he's going to stay in faith. And everything in him, I'm sure, has said, "This is too hard. Don't do it. You're going to regret it." That happens to us, doesn't it? We get in the middle of something really hard, and we just want to throw in the towel. We want to quit. We don't want to keep going. It's too hard. We don't think there's any hope, right? But Jesus said, "I'm going to stay in faith." And that's what he did. And that's what we have to remember. We have to have the same mentality that Jesus had, that resurrection mentality, that no matter what, God keeps his promises, and that I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going until I reach that resurrection place. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us today, because there's a resurrection coming for each one of us here too. When they nailed him to the cross, he felt like he was rejected. I mean, he yells out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And what's the answer? Nothing, right? It's silence. And if you're like me, I bet there's times in your life when things are really hard that you are crying out to God, and all you hear is silence. But silence doesn't mean that something on the inside isn't happening. Silence doesn't mean that God isn't working in our behalf. Sometimes we just don't hear it. But there's never a time that God doesn't hear us. You know, it might look like nothing has happened, but on the inside, God is growing you and preparing for you for something. Your resurrection is coming. In spite of Jesus' suffering on the cross, you know, he looks up to heaven. He says, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." The disciples buried him in the ground, thought he was dead, went home in hiding. But 3 days later, Jesus is out of the grave, and he says, "I was dead, but now I am alive because I live." Who lives?
You
live. So God has a resurrection in store for us, certainly at the end, but also small resurrections for us along the way, so that we know that resurrection is possible. There's a resurrection coming for this church, but to get there, we have to be willing to go through the hard times. We have to be willing to persevere and have that resurrection mentality that says, the dawn is coming, the dawn is going to break. But we have to remember that God is working in our life when times look hard. We have to keep focused on the horizon and say, there's a dawn coming, right? Because eventually God's resurrection will dawn on you if you just keep in faith.